Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our harvest service, where we're hoping that all the children are going to stay in and the teenagers as well, because we've got lots to celebrate today. So welcome. There is a soup lunch afterwards if you'd like to stay. And I'm sure we can eke the soup out if you haven't already booked, but it would be great to see you. We want you to make a donation because the donations are going to go towards BMS and their work in Afghanistan, which we're going to look at this morning. So this weekend we're celebrating harvest, so come, you thankful people, come. Praise God for the food on in your cupboards, the clothes in your wardrobe, the clean water in your taps, the medical care you enjoy, and the secure and warm homes you occupy. Rejoice and give thanks for the rich provision God gives you. If you have a harvest gift and you haven't brought it up yet, then you can do so in the first hymn, which, of course, is a traditional harvest hymn. Come, you thankful people, come. Raise the song of harvest home. What we're trying to do here is look at the harvest that we have in the world and also the harvest that God wants from us, in that everyone is important and he wants everyone to grow in his kingdom. And we do that by saying thank you to God and praising him. So we've got a song just for that. Stand up, clap hands, shout, thank you, Lord. Oh. Yes, it is a great thing to stand up and clap hands. Harvest is a time to give thanks, but also a time to reflect on the needs of others. This year, we're looking at the crop of human beings. So many don't make it to their first birthday.
Maternal and infant mortality is actually a success story in Afghanistan. The stats have improved year on year since the government has been in power. But those improvements really, if you look at the statistics overall, are centred around the cities. If you come out to village life here in very remote parts of the country, you're still looking at maybe one child in 10 will not survive its first birthday. And possibly one woman in 20 will not survive her first pregnancy.
We had 11 children who did not survive. Some of our babies lived for 1 or 2 months, and then they got sick and died. But most of them would only live for a few hours. They would be born and start breathing, and we'd hope they'd make it. But then they'd seize up and die.
Like everybody else, I used to give birth into piles of dirt from the cowshed, and our children would never live very long. It was a terrible thing, losing so many children. You can't really cope with that kind of feeling.
There's so many common complications of pregnancy here that happen because of diet, because of lack of access to services, because of lack of knowledge about hygiene and sanitation. And every village we go to, we hear stories of people who've got family members who died trying to give birth. We teach people, women and men, the knowledge and essential practical skills that they need in their communities to prevent common birth problems, to deal with them when they happen, and we teach them how to know when you need to get help from a trained medical professional.
7 of my own children died. They got sick after they were born and died from tetanus or pneumonia. Until we started doing this training, the ladies would be giving birth anywhere. In the stable, the cowhouse, or around the back of the house on a pile of grass. We didn't know how to keep things clean. We'd always be carrying heavy loads when we were pregnant. We'd clean the baby's umbilical cord with black dirt. And we believed that we shouldn't eat fruit or vegetables because they could be harmful for us and the baby. The babies were dying because of things we were doing, but we didn't know they were wrong. We didn't know any better. Now we've learnt a whole lot of things, and it hits us where we've been hurting.
In the villages, they don't have good access to health facilities, but prevention is better than treatment, and we are teaching them how to help each other. After the training, the women say, if we'd had these lessons in the past, maybe we wouldn't have lost our babies.
I think I'm 35 or 40 years old, and I didn't think I'd have anyone to carry on my family name. After losing 11 babies, we'd lost all hope that we'd ever have a child that would survive. But then the birthing course came to the village, and my wife and I learnt what the problems had been. We'd been following the traditions from here, and my wife had been giving birth in very dirty conditions. Our babies had been getting tetanus from the dirt when they were born.
I really did the things that we learnt from the trainers. They told us that we should try and eat something 4 times a day, and I thought, yeah, I can do that. And my brother took me to the clinic for prenatal checks, and I didn't carry anything too heavy. That was really good. This is my first child, Umid. Giving birth was a little bit difficult. I was in labour for 2 days. But then my family hired a car and took me to the clinic, and my son was born there.
Umid's alive and doing well today because his mum knew that when she was in obstructed labour, she had to get out, get help from a clinic. That wouldn't have happened if she hadn't been part of our training course. What his mum picked up on the training course saved his life.
I feel very happy to be a mum. I think these lessons should spread everywhere. Everyone needs to know about these things.
This time round, I gave birth on a clean sheet of plastic. We made sure our hands were clean, that the strings we used to tie the baby's cords were clean. We cleaned everything. And now, we have 2 living children, and I am very happy.
This is my 3-year-old daughter, Roya, and this is my baby son, Navid. I'm delighted and so full of joy to be a father. It's a really great feeling. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
What we've learnt here is the reason that my children are alive. The lessons you have given have made all the difference in the world.
If you want to pick one thing that transforms lives the most, I think saving the life of a mother and baby is there. You can't be much more transformative than that. When you talk to people about the changes that have happened in their villages, when people tell you about losing a string of children and then having one successfully delivered and starting to grow up and be healthy because of the work that we've done with them. And that is transformation. If you look at a woman who has maybe lost half of her previous children, that's, you can look at it as a statistic, but that's a mum who's lost a load of babies. We can change that. So.
Our reading this morning is from Exodus, chapter 23, verses 14 to 16. The 3 annual festivals. 3 times a year, you are to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the Feast of Harvest with the first fruits of the crops that you sow in your field. Celebrate the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in your crops from the field. Amen.
Thank you, Kim. So how do you show that you're one of God's people? That's what this is answering. It's not saying you must do this to be good people. It's saying if you want to show the world that you are one of God's people, then this is what I want you to do. The Jews were told to obey the 10 commandments, which included keeping the Sabbath. And then they were told, gather together 3 times a year and have a party. I like this kind of God. All right, he doesn't say gather together and be mournful and sad. Gather together and have a festival, a party. At the anniversary of their rescue, Passover, Easter. At the beginning of the harvest, to say, wow, it started, let's have a party. And that was Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. And at the end of harvest, they all went and they got into booths, they got into tents to remind themselves of the journey that they had from slavery to God's promised land. They got in these booths and they celebrated. They all went camping for a week. All right? Now, I know you're thinking, a festival, camping. Some of you are going camping. Don't do camping. Okay? But think of it as Soul Survivor. Okay? Spring harvest before they went posh. You know, it was like that. Everybody went outside and they celebrated the ingathering. And it wasn't just a party. It was to re-engage with God. Because they've been so busy that sometimes you get so busy you forget what God has done for you and where God fits into your life. So they got together and they re-engaged with God and reminded themselves that God is the focus of their lives and the one who unites them. Come, remember who you're connected to. Come, give thanks for all you have. Come, worship your God who has kept his promises. So we're here today on one of those ingathering times to celebrate. Look at your faces. You're here to celebrate. Oh, there's a smile coming on your faces. God, it was hard work. Yeah. Celebrate all that you have. And then it says, bring something you value and honor God with it. I know, that means getting your iPhone out. Bring something you value. Don't come empty-handed and just go, oh, that'll do. Remember who your God is and bring something that he would like. When Jesus came, he left us with two commandments to summarize them all. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he taught that your neighbor wasn't just the person next door, but every and any human being. That was what he taught when they said, and who is my neighbor? And he talked about a Samaritan. People like your neighbor. People you don't like your neighbor. The women in the video, your neighbor. The person sitting next to you and behind you or in front of you. Your neighbor. And be kind to them and celebrate them. The writers of the Hebrews reminded the early Christians, do not neglect gathering together. People thought, now we got Jesus, we don't do that kind of stuff. No, he says, don't forget that. This gathering together and celebrating what God has done is really important because you forget. And you keep wanting the next thing. When we gather together, we recognize God is our Father. There's a relationship there. We recognize Jesus is our brother who died for us and rose from the dead. We recognize that the Holy Spirit is given to each one of us to lead us and guide us. And we go, yay! We're connected. Not just here, but with God. And if I haven't helped you do that this morning, I've failed. Because you are a connected people. And when we gather, we worship God and look after each other. Just because they go to university doesn't mean we forget them or stop praying for them. Just because they're old or crippled doesn't mean we don't look after them. Just because they're lonely and they've stopped coming to church for a while, doesn't mean we don't go and get them and reach out to them. Because we are the family of God. And just because we've never met them, because they live in the mountains of Afghanistan, does not mean we can't help them. So let's pray for our neighbors, shall we?